chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I look forward to hearing this message. This is one of my favorite sections of the Bible. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. We truly welcome you this morning as we have worshiped and continue to worship. Our desire is to glorify God and to bring honor to Him because He truly is worthy of that. Will you bow your heads right now and join me in prayer as we now look at the Word of God? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning and keep us focused right now. So easy when there's a change in the worship order, Father, for our minds to go someplace else. But God, please keep us focused. May our minds be directed toward you. And Father, help us to just be reminded that you will speak to us this morning. You will speak to us. And God, that humbles us. And it raises up a heart of thanksgiving to know that you love us so much that you talk to us. Help us now, Father, to respond to you. May there be a humility. May there be a desire for obedience that you place within us that we might live to glorify you. So we look forward to that change that will take place because you have spoken this day. And we give glory and honor to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, the mercy of God. We thank you. Amen. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 6 this morning, and I ask you to follow as I read this passage again. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. I want you to see, first of all, this morning that there are two kinds of believers in our passage. Two kinds of believers in this passage. First of all, there are believers who have fallen in sin. Paul says here that they are overtaken in a trespass. And my guess this morning would be that all of us, every person here this morning, could associate with this kind of believer. In other words, we all have fallen. We all have been overtaken in a trespass. But then notice second, there are believers who help restore the one who has fallen. There are spiritual people who help the fallen. They lift up those who have stumbled. They lift up those who are struggling. They help bear the burdens of those who have sinned. And my guess this morning would be that there are much fewer of us who could associate with this group. When I read this passage, I get no indication from the Apostle Paul that either of these groups are peculiar or are strange in the church. Remember, Paul was writing to the believers in Galatia. Folks, all the believers in Galatia, all the churches in Galatia, he writes this letter to them. And of course, by application, he writes to us, to all believers who are here today, he's writing. And God is speaking. And so this is not a small, special, select group within the church. Every one of us will or should find ourselves in this passage. But what really stood out as I studied this passage is this. And I want to make it clear with you this morning. There is one statement to the believer who has fallen into sin. That's verse 1. And the rest of the passage speaks to the believer who will help restore the one who has fallen. Sometimes I think that even when we read this passage or we study this passage, we focus on the one who has fallen. And yet Paul's words here take us to those who would restore. It's like every verse has a big yellow light that says, caution, caution. And it's flashing, be careful, be careful. And the message of warning is not directed to the one who has fallen, but to those who help the one who has fallen. Now these two kinds of believers, the one who falls and the one who restores, both face a common enemy. And brothers and sisters, that enemy is pride. It's pride. Because behind every statement in this passage, pride or self-exaltation or self-reliance is found. As a matter of fact, when you look at the book of Galatians and you look at it carefully like we have, it's almost like pride lurks on every page of the book of Galatians. And when you begin to think about what Paul wrote about and who he wrote to, then you recognize the enemy is there. It's the virus that causes all the moral and spiritual diseases of this world. This has been the case since Adam and Eve when they chose to be God instead of trusting God and following God. And this pride continues to ruin human beings and every relationship and function of humanity. And so, folks, with this introduction in mind, let's now look at this passage, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, because this morning we need to learn how to bear one another's burdens. So let's start now with the main point in this passage. And the main point of our passage is given in a general way in verse 2, and then in a very specific way in verse 1. So look at verse 2, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a Christian brother or sister is weighed down or is menaced by some burden or some threat, then be alert to that and do something to help. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says. Don't let them be destroyed. Don't let them to continue with that burden. One writer said, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. In other words, don't increase their burdens. Make them lighter. Bear one another's burdens, is what Paul says. You see, folks, some Christians in the church, they wonder how they can serve in the local church. And frankly, here's a way to serve. Here's a way to serve that will bless the body of Christ and bring all kinds of joy and satisfaction in God's grace. Help those who are struggling. Help those who are falling. Help those who have stumbled. You see, that's the message here. That's the main point here. Help them. Help those who carry heavy burdens. Now, in this way, Paul says this, that you will fulfill the law of Christ. So don't forget this. See, keep this together. Bear one another's burdens, because in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And previously, he had talked about fulfilling the law of Christ. How do we do that? Through love. And so now he's giving us an example of how we can do that. And frankly, it's an odd phrase when you think about the whole book of Galatians, because we have spent a good portion of this book trying to move away from the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, if you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. In Galatians 3, 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, that's what we've seen throughout this book. It seems with this statement from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we have been freed from the curse and the burden of the law of Moses just to be burdened down by another law. And yet this is the law of Christ, the law of Christ. And when you examine the commands of Christ, whether it's in the Gospels or whether in the epistles, brothers and sisters, they are more difficult and they are more stringent and they are more radical than the law of Moses. And yet the big difference, and please get this now, the big difference when you look at the law of Moses and you look at the law of Christ, the big difference is that the law of Moses could not change our hearts so that we would freely obey. Our pride and our rebellion was not conquered by the law of Moses. But when Christ summons us to obey His law of love, then Christ offers Himself to slay that dragon of pride and change our hearts and empower us by His Spirit so that we can fulfill His law. And folks, please let this sink in. Please understand this. We now have the law of Christ, and we look at the law of Christ and we say, I can't do that on my own. No, you can't. Because Christ says, I will give you this law, I will give you these commands, and I will be with you, and I will never leave you, and I will give you the strength, and I will give you the power, and I will give you the desire. If you trust me and you look to me, you will obey my law, and I will do it through you. Amen. That's what Jesus does. That's how He does it. So Christ's law comes with the desire and the power to obey. And that's why that even though Christ's law is more radical than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, that Christ says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And folks, that means that when we are weak, He is strong. It is He who produces the fruit of love. And Jesus Christ never commands us to do anything that He wants us to do on our own. He commands us, and yet He says, I will do this through you. And you know what that means? That means that when we look at the command of Christ and we look at the Word of God, that means as believers that we can never say, I can't do this. Now, the truth is we can't do it in our own power, but we can never say, I can't do this, because Christ says, I will do this, and I will do this for you. That's what Jesus does. Through faith, God supplies. Now, I want you to think about this. This is what we've learned in the book of Galatians. Every command in the law of Christ is a call to faith. Through faith, God supplies the Spirit, Galatians 3:5. And through the Spirit, we produce the fruit of love, Galatians 5:22. And through love, we fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And therefore, if you trust Him, if you believe Him, if you walk by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you, then we will fulfill the law of love. And you and I will devote ourselves to lifting the burden of others. And brothers and sisters, it is not easy. And it's not easy because it goes back to that part of us that is so self-centered, and it pulls us towards self. And therefore, it takes the work of Christ in our hearts to move us in this direction. Now, what are these burdens? What's Paul talking about here? I said that the main point is given in a general way in verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens. But in verse 1, Paul gives a specific kind of burden and how to help a person bear that burden. Look what he says, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, sometimes when we think of burdens, see, think of that word burden. I mean, when you think about the word burden, what comes to mind? Doesn't a weight come to mind? Something that's heavy comes to mind. And yet when we think of these burdens, oftentimes we will think of burdens of sickness, or a burden of unemployment, or a burden of the passing of a loved one, or loneliness, or rejection, or other such things. And I think this is right. I think these are burdens. These are things that we carry. These are loads that we carry. And if we walk in the Spirit, then we will be about the business of bearing such burdens. We should do that in our relationship with our brothers and sisters. But notice that Paul says here in verse 1 that these burdens can also include sin. And notice he calls them a trespass. He says when you're overtaken in a trespass, let me remind you that that's what sin will often do. It will overtake you. And the picture is this, that you're walking and you're moving and suddenly you're overtaken. It's like sin grabs you. And sin pulls you down. See, you're overtaken in a trespass. That's what he says. And I think you put all that together, this means that we can define a burden as anything that will weigh down our faith. Anything. Anything that can crush our faith. And I believe that Paul's point here is that a person who is sinning needs help. And therefore, Paul says, restore him. The word restore there means make them right. Make things right. It's actually the same word was used in the Gospels to describe the mending or restoration of fishing nets that were damaged. So repair them or mend them or make things right is what Paul says. Now we could then think of sin, as an illustration, we could think of sin as the breakdown in the machinery of our life. It has to be repaired. It has to be fixed. And if you find someone, or if you know someone, or you learn of someone with a breakdown, then you do what you need to do to restore that person to a good, godly, running condition. Now, I don't want to limit the seriousness of sin, but you know, folks, there are some sins that are like an engine that's missing. I mean, it's running, but then there are some sins that cause the engine to miss. There are some sins that that just cause the engine not to start. And then there are just some sins that just completely break down the whole car. See, again, just thinking of that illustration. And this means that no one who lives by the law of Christ or in the power of Christ can say about a brother or a sister's sin, "That's not my business." Or, "That's his problem, not mine." Or, "I don't want to add to my own burdens." Or, "I just don't have time for this." Frankly, if you think about that, those statements, have you been there? Have those thoughts come to mind when you hear of someone's failure or falling? I have. Instead of an atmosphere of helping to bear one another's burdens, we often have an atmosphere of neglect or an atmosphere of silence. And that's why that Paul's words here help us so much. We need to cultivate an atmosphere in this local church of love that is so great that when we see the breakdown or we see the struggle, that we move toward people to help them. Now, ultimately, we understand that it's Christ who forgives, it's Christ who repairs the breakdown, but our responsibility is to love and to admonish and to reprove and to warn when habits or actions or attitudes are wrong. And folks, when we see a breakdown due to sin in the body, then we point that one to the only great mechanic who can fix our old jalopy. And that's Christ. That's Jesus. So that's the main point of our passage this morning. Bear one another's burdens. Take on the trouble of helping people realize their sin and then help them get it repaired. You see, folks, it's often easy to help with the burdens of sickness or the burdens of unemployment or the burdens of losing a loved one, but it's much more difficult to help others bear the burden of confronting a person and helping a person who has fallen into sin. And we need this morning to remind ourselves that a sinful attitude or a sinful action is much more harmful to a person than a physical sickness or unemployment or even losing a dear loved one. Sin is that kind of enemy. And if the fruit of the Spirit is to be produced in us, then we will confront them with their sin and comfort them in their trouble. And this is how that we as a church and as individuals can fulfill the law of Christ. That's the main point. Now, let's get back to the enemy called pride. And pride is our enemy. See, once we understand the main point of this passage, then everything else in this passage is a warning against the danger of pride in those of us who take on this burden of restoring a fellow believer who has fallen into sin. And folks, there is a right way to do that, and there is a wrong way to do that. Now, the wrong way is simply a way that is filled with pride. So how can we kill this pride that will impact the way that we help others? Well, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says that you should be spiritual before you take on the burden of restoring a fallen believer. Now, right at that moment, see, I've said those who are spiritual, please do not shut the door and say, "That leaves me out." or only just a few people in the church can do that. Do not think that way. Don't go down that pathway with this statement. Because what Paul means here simply is this, that we should be led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:18. We should walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We should bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And folks, what that means is we're not talking about some kind of super-duper Christians. We're talking about normal Christian living. To be led by the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. See, that's normal Christian living. And that's why that we say that this statement by the Apostle Paul, this passage, this is for all of us. All of us who were true believers, this is for us. This is normal Spirit-filled Christianity. Spiritual people are ordinary people relying on an extraordinary Spirit who produces in them love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Now that was the list that Paul gives us in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But now look at this connection, because there's a connection in that list, verse 22 actually, 5:22 and Galatians 6:1, because Paul says, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of what? Gentleness. And where does that gentleness come from? The Spirit. See, so that helps us understand the context. Paul gives that fruit of the Spirit in the last part of chapter 5, and then he moves into chapter 6 as we see it, and we see an example of that. Example of how we can fulfill the love of Christ and how that this work of the Spirit is manifested in our lives. You who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And so, folks, the way to avoid pride when you help restore a brother or a sister fallen into sin, struggling with sin, is to act only in the power of the Spirit. Now, that means, then, that we must examine ourselves. In verse 1, Paul says, considering yourself, look to ourselves, look to yourself. Be on guard lest we fall prey to the temptation to rely on ourselves and to trust in ourselves and to exalt ourselves. And you see, that's what happened to the believer who sinned. And now the one who would help that believer must be on guard and be careful, because they too can walk down a pathway of pride. And so that's the warning. And we see it in these verses. Brothers and sisters, we need to remind ourselves that we are actually a basket case of sin apart from God's grace. Do you understand that? We just fight with sin. We struggle with sin. And so we're not talking about some super spiritual holy person here helping this poor soul who has fallen in sin. We're talking about this poor, lowly person who struggles with sin helping this other poor, lowly person who struggles with sin. And seeing the only way that can happen is by the power of God and by the grace of God. And seeing that's the attitude that we have when we reach out and we help those who were struggling. Therefore, total reliance on God produces gentleness and meekness. And meekness is the twin sister of humility, and that's the opposite of pride. And we have to fight the pride. It's like Paul says, examine yourself to see if you are relying on the Spirit in meekness or whether you are puffed up in self-reliance. And the spiritual person will help the erring brother or sister by pointing them only to Jesus Christ, where there is healing and restoration. Now look at verse 3. Look at verse 3, because this goes right to the heart of our pride. Paul says, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So when we're faced with this command to bear one another's burdens, and that means lovingly confronting and restoring a believer who has fallen into sin, folks, we can give excuses. I might even say that our society or the world around us arms us with excuses. For example, we don't do this. We don't serve those who were struggling with sin. We don't help them bear their burdens. We don't do that because of fear. We're afraid of how people might respond. We don't do it because society says that we have low self-esteem. I mean, who am I to confront someone else? I have low self-esteem. I'll be as plain as I can to you. Throw that out the door. Just throw it out. It's really amazing here that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, looks into our hearts and says, here's the reason why we don't obey this command. Here's the reason why we don't gently restore a believer who has sinned. He says, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See, we think too highly of ourselves. And how that comes out in our lives is this. Well, I don't want to get into this mess. I have other important things to do. Or he made his bed, let him lie in it. Or I'm afraid of her response, which actually means I'm not afraid of disobeying God. You see, there are all kinds of excuses. Our failure to fulfill the law of Christ is because we think we are something when we are nothing. Christians should never, ever talk about self-esteem, but Christians should always, always talk about Christ-esteem. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we truly need to break the shackles of our pride and place our trust in the incomparable Christ who came into this world to save utterly unworthy sinners. And we need to keep telling ourselves, we're one of those unworthy sinners that He came to save. And He saved us. And when one of our brothers and sisters are overtaken by a trespass, then we, as saved, unworthy, people who did not deserve the grace of God, can move into their lives and help them as they struggle with sin. And when we look completely to Christ for forgiveness and guidance and love and joy and help, then that believer that you admonish and that believer that you help, they will know that you do not come in pride, but you come in humility to help them. And then there's one final way to kill that pride in our lives. Look at verses 4 and 5, Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, I think what Paul is saying in those verses, in those statements, is simply this. Don't you compare yourself to others. When you move into the life of another person and you move in to help them, don't you compare yourself to them. As a matter of fact, don't compare yourselves to other believers. It's far too easy to move to help someone who has fallen with an attitude of contempt or boasting or pride. And so don't get puffed up because a brother or a sister falls lower than you. Our pride loves It loves to see people fall where we've stood. So don't measure your moral achievements by those of others. Measure them and test them and examine them by the law of Christ. And if there is any boasting in our lives, it will be in Christ and in His power and His provision. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 31, "Let him who boast in the Lord." That's chapter 1, verse 31. And so the cross of Christ and the work of the Spirit in our hearts will evaporate our pride and our boasting in ourselves. And it will move us to look to the grace of God. It will move us to trust in God by His grace. Verse 5, Paul says, "For each one shall bear his own load." So don't ever try to lighten the load of your sin by comparing yourself to a brother or a sister who has fallen. Paul says you will bear your own load. And frankly, when I look at those words by the Apostle Paul, folks, our only hope is that our load, all of our load, is carried by Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus promises to carry our load. Our enemy is pride, and it will fight against the law of Christ and our love for others. And so I end this morning with two questions. They're simple. First of all, will you fight this pride? Will you fight this pride that will move you into sin? And will you fight this pride that will keep you from helping those who give in to sin? Will you fight this pride? And then number two, will you bear one another's burdens? Because if you do, and you do it in obedience to the Word of God here, you are fighting pride, you are fighting sin, and you are fulfilling the law of Christ as you do that. Let's bow our heads.